He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. That's the reason why we're here this morning, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you will remember, last Easter, we were not here. We were not gathered together because of COVID. So I think this morning should be an extra special celebration as we gather to worship the risen and living Jesus. So would you please join me in prayer? Lord, we live in faith of the resurrection. May we not forget what you have done on the cross. If we have buried our compassion, roll back the stone. If we have buried our sense of mercy, roll back the stone. If we have buried our humility, roll back the stone. If we've buried our love for our Heavenly Father, roll back the stone. If we've buried our sense of joy, roll back the stone. If we buried our willingness to forgive, roll back the stone. Lord, in you we've found a Savior that no grave can hold. Help us to roll away the stones and find the miracle of new life so that we can live more deeply in your saving grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join in worshiping the risen King?
Hallelujah, sing hallelujah, my Jesus is
if you haven't placed your offerings in the plates here at the front, you may do that on this next song. Today's offering is going toward the EMM Impact Fund. And this next song, I'll just say that the first line says it all. I serve a risen Savior.
Let us pray. So, Father, this morning we come to you with joyful and thankful hearts. As quite honestly, today is the greatest day in the history of man. No other day would matter without this day, Father, and we are so thankful for it. So I ask you this morning to take all those thoughts of chocolate bunnies and Easter egg hunts and ham dinners and whatever else they may be. Remove all those thoughts. This morning, Father, I pray that we can just honor you, worship you, and praise you for what you have done for us, Father. Thank you. We all truly love you for the things you have done. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When I previously led this next song, it was just shortly after Christmas, and I mentioned about singing this song and focusing on Easter. You can't have Christmas without Easter. You can't have Easter without Christmas. There is a straight line from the manger to the cross. And that line doesn't end there. It goes on for all eternity. And it goes through each one of our lives as well, as Christ takes what he did on the cross and in the empty tomb and applies that to our lives and resurrects our lives as well. Won't you please stand with us?
God.
save us from our sins, and you gave us eternal life through rising from the dead. And we just praise you this morning. You are our living hope. And God, we just pray for Larry as he brings the message now. Just fill him with what you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I invite any children to come forward for the children's story this morning. Wow, we got a bench full this morning. You can sit in the second row if you want to. There you go. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. So what is today? Easter.
Easter.
What happened on Easter?
God died.
God died. But on Easter Sunday morning, we're here because
He's alive.
Yeah, that's right. He's alive. He's alive. He is risen. So I got a question for you. Do you like surprises? Yeah? You don't know. You're not sure. Depends on what they are, right?
I like it so much.
You like it so much.
Yeah. When it's Easter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, a surprise is when something happens that you're not expecting to happen, right?
My
God is on Easter. That's right. So there's some surprises that maybe we don't like maybe we're walking in our house and maybe your brother or sister or somebody is hidden behind the door and they jump out and they go, boo! Yeah, scares you, right. So maybe that's not such a good surprise. Or maybe you're blowing up a balloon and all of a sudden the balloon goes, boom! And it breaks and that's another surprise. But then maybe there's some good surprises like, yeah, when it's Christmas, and you get Christmas presents, and you're surprised by what's in the gift. You open up the gift, and there's a surprise inside, right?
Yeah, and Easter is outside.
Absolutely. So sometimes maybe your mom and dad have a surprise birthday party for you. You have a surprise party, and that's a good surprise, right? So guess what? There's a surprise inside this box. I don't hear anything in there. I wonder if there's something in there. There's something in there?
Like a fox.
A fox? Wow.
Or a stuffed animal.
Well, if a fox comes out of that box, I'm going to be surprised. So, Jericho, could you help me? What I'd like you to do is we're gonna get hold of the lid, okay? And when I count to three, we're gonna lift it up, and when we lift it up, we want to tilt it back so that whatever is in here can come out, okay? Okay, you ready? Okay, one, two, three. That was a surprise. Thank you. So how are we going to get them down? A ladder, yeah. Okay. Well, perhaps the biggest surprise that ever happened on Resurrection Sunday morning. There was a... Easter, okay. And maybe it happened to Mary Magdalene. She was a woman who knew Jesus, and she was very, very sad when he died. The Bible tells us that she was standing outside the tomb, and she was crying. As she cried, then she bent over, and she looked into the tomb, and there was two angels sitting in there. And they asked why she was crying. She said it was because someone had taken away her Lord and she didn't know where he was. And then she turned and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was him until he said her name. Can you imagine the surprise that Mary had when she realized that Jesus was alive? Because the last time she saw him, he was being placed in the tomb and he was dead. So this was a very, very happy surprise for Mary, and it's also a very happy surprise for us here this morning, because it shows us how much God loves each one of us. Okay? So God loves each one of you very, very much. So I'm going to have a prayer. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these children. God, I just pray you bless them today. I pray, Father God, that as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the grave on this Easter morning, that these young boys and girls would have a deeper understanding of the love you have for each one of them. And that we also would know and understand, every one of us here today would understand a little bit better the deep, deep love that you have for each one of us. So I pray your blessing upon these children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now there's a snack over here, but I'm counting the number of children and the number of snack that I prepared, and I have a problem. I don't quite have enough. So after church, come and see me. You don't need any? Well, that's good. That's fine. But you can take as many as there's in there, and then if you didn't get one, come and see me after church, okay? And I'll make sure you get a snack. All right? Go ahead. You can have the snack and go back to your parents. It looks like there was enough there. It's a miracle. Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of our risen and our living Lord and Savior. He is risen. Can't say that enough. Well, for the last 6 weeks, we've been journeying through this season of Lent, leading us up to today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. So the scripture I've chosen for our text this morning is John 20, verses 1 to 18. So I'd like to read this account this morning. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So in John's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see Mary Magdalene having a life-altering encounter. So journey with me as we go with Mary. The events of the last few days were unbelievable. They had flung her life into utter chaos. She was filled with grief, filled with questions that seemingly had no answers. It had all started in the dark. John tells us it was the first day of the week, and it was still dark outside. It was a darkness that covered everything, and it was not just a physical darkness, but it was also a darkness that created an inability to see and understand this Jesus that she and others followed. So what could Mary do but return? If only to try and pick up the pieces of her life and try and make some sense out of what was left. She wanted to start at the tomb because that's the last place that she'd seen Jesus' body. It was there that she thought she could begin rebuilding her life. All the while, probably desperately wishing for everything to return to normal. So imagine with me now how Mary must have felt. After an exhausting week and the utter dreadfulness of what had happened, perhaps she'd finally collapsed out of exhaustion, and then a few hours later she awoke while it was still dark and her mind began racing with questions all over again. Probably all she could think of was the memory of Friday, the horrible death on the cross that she saw Jesus, and the rush to prepare Jesus' body for burial before the Sabbath began. She had to go back to the tomb because it wasn't very long ago that Jesus' reputation as a man of wisdom was growing rapidly. The possibilities of everything that could happen for the Jewish people under his leadership was staggering. They were on the brink of a revolution, and Mary knew it. She had given up everything to be one of his followers. She had to go back. She had to go back to the tomb just in case there was a way to salvage things and get back to normal. Stunned and exhausted, Mary went back to what she thought would be familiar. If only things could return to the way they were before. But she was also probably wondering what the future may hold. So she went to the tomb early in the morning in the dark. Once she arrived, she could clearly see that the foggy recollection of the past few days had just gotten worse and had, in fact, just turned into a nightmare. All the love and the care that the women had put into preparing Jesus' body for burial had been upset. The stone was moved. The seal of the tomb was broken. The grave clothes were piled there, and no body was to be found. John tells us Mary runs to tell the other disciples. This was a serious turn of events. I mean, the looting of Jesus' grave, and Mary, John tells us, couldn't stop crying. She came back to the open tomb and stood outside weeping, grieving the loss of Jesus, and perhaps even worse, the loss of everything that she knew to be true about her life. You see, up until 2 days ago, she'd finally discovered who she was. She was Mary Magdalene, a disciple of Jesus. Because Jesus had cast not one demon, but 7 demons out of her. Imagine the healing that she experienced from Jesus. And now as she stood in the darkness, she didn't recognize that Mary, the one that she had become since she had met Jesus. She couldn't see through the darkness to know who in the world she was supposed to be now. As she stood there weeping, she met a stranger in the garden. Naturally, she thought this man must be the gardener. He looked at her with compassion because she was obviously distraught. And he asked her why she was crying and who it was that she was looking for. And then through her sobbing tears, she said, "If you've moved his body for some reason, please, please, tell me where have you laid him so I can go and take care of him. Please." Mary. Her name. That's what he said. It was all that he said, but it was at that moment that she knew. His voice pierced the foggy, befuddled chaos of her brain, and she recognized Jesus and said, "My teacher." In that moment, when Jesus called her name, her whole world shifted, and she knew in an instant that nothing would ever be the same again. Jesus was calling her to deep living. Now, experts say that the average human being can cite 5 experiences over the course of a lifetime that are life-altering experiences. Probably most of us would maybe cite things like our first job, maybe buying our first car, buying a house, falling in love, getting married, the birth of a child. Well, for Mary, this moment in the garden was a life-altering event. One moment she was in the throes of grief, surrounded by darkness, and the next moment she recognized Jesus and the light began to dawn. Why didn't she immediately recognize Jesus? I don't know. Maybe she was emotionally drained and physically very tired. I don't know. At any rate, when Jesus calls her name, something supernatural happened, and a dramatic supernatural change takes place. Her hopes suddenly rise. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Everything can now get back to the way it used to be, only to have those hopes dashed when Jesus says, "Nope, it's time to let go, Mary. Now that I've called you by name and you have witnessed the power of God, everything changes. And now this is your story. It's time for deep living." There's not one person whom Jesus encounters in the entire gospel narrative who is not asked to change, and to change in a big way. Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" Or he says, "You need to repay those that you've stolen from." Or he commands, "Get up and walk." For Mary, it's nothing different. When we encounter the living God, when he calls our name, everything changes. Yeah, we so desperately want things to stay the same. Everything we believe about God and everything that we think we know about ourselves. But the resurrection is not about staying the same. When we're confronted with the resurrection, I mean really personally confronted, when the resurrected Jesus Christ calls our name, everything changes. For Mary, it meant going and telling. And she is known by us here today, some 2,000 plus years later, as the first witness to the resurrection, the one who had the courage to recognize Jesus and then share the good news that Jesus is alive. Yes, part of the good news of the resurrection is that Jesus called Mary by her name and offered her the opportunity to follow the living and risen Jesus out of the dark, the depth of darkness, the despair of the moment, and into new and life-giving light, a call to deep living. Jesus called her name. Jesus calls each one of our names as well. Do you hear him calling your name? Are you listening for him to call your name? A call to deep living connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. Now, sitting here this morning, hearing a 2,000 plus year old story again, maybe as a tradition, isn't likely to change anything. And remember, resurrection changes everything. So we absolutely cannot leave this place today and put this miracle of new life and the promise of resurrection back on the shelf until next Resurrection Sunday celebration. We absolutely cannot do that. Why not? Because Jesus is calling our names. Every single one of us. Just like he called Mary's name. He's giving a personal invitation to go and tell and to live our lives with a conviction that the good news of the resurrection, the overcoming of sin and death, is not some dry, dead event that we celebrate once a year. It's personal. Jesus is calling our names. He's calling you, 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 and me. Calling us to live as if the resurrection of Jesus makes a difference every single day of our lives. A call to deep living. When Mary interacted with Jesus on that incredible morning, when she discovered that Jesus was alive, I believe it changed her life completely. Likewise, when we encounter the resurrected, living Jesus, we are dramatically changed. We must all walk out of this building determined to practice resurrection living, answering the call to deep living, understanding anew this morning, Jesus has called you by name and has given you the task of practicing the resurrection in your life every single day. Today, the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, is a great time to answer the call to be his messenger, telling others the good news. It is also a great time to answer the call to deep living, meaning live your life like you believe the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is true. Jesus told Mary to go tell the other disciples, and she went, and she exclaimed, "I've seen the Lord." Today, Jesus is saying, take the resurrection hope out of this building, into your workplace, into your school, wherever you go, because this is your task, and because Jesus has called your name. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you that he was obedient to your plan to bring salvation to the world and to each one of us sitting here this morning. So I pray that as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, from the dead this morning, I pray, Almighty God, that you would instill within us a deep desire to share that incredibly good news with people we come in contact with, whether that's at work, at school, wherever we go, that you would give us a boldness, you would give us a passion, that you would help us to make that deep connection with you through your Holy Spirit living within us. And as your Spirit leads, guides, and directs, give us eyes to see you at work, eyes to see those persons that you bring into our pathway throughout the day, those persons that need to hear the good news of what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. So I ask for your blessing upon this congregation here this morning. And I pray in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ that you would give us boldness, that you would help us to open our mouths and proclaim the good news wherever we go. And thank you so much for what you've done for us through Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I would invite the worship team to come.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to greet you in the powerful name of Jesus. I trust that God is stirring your heart this morning. I trust that He is speaking to you and changing you as He is calling you. Larry, amen to your message. Amen. We are here today to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ. Because He is risen. But we are also communing this morning, not just with God while we have communion, but with our fellow believers around the world. Just think about that. How big that table is when we gather and have communion. We are here remembering what Jesus did for us. And knowing what He did for us on the cross, it's worth whatever it costs me to go and follow Him. I'm going to be reading a couple passages of Scripture. Luke 22:14-22. When the hour came, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him. Then He said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then He took a cup. After giving thanks, He said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me." In the same way, He also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom He is betrayed." Jesus has given us a way to come and commune with Him and remember His promises that He's given us. And He gave us those promises through His death and resurrection and His blood. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-29. Excuse me. "For I have received from the Lord," this is Paul talking, "for I have received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, broke it, and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He also took the cup after supper and said this, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let that person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." As we partake in communion this morning, we are proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you a moment to close your eyes and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, to reveal anything that is between you and God or you and your fellow man. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to go to someone and say, "I'm sorry for doing something." if there's anything, go and take care of it right now. Because there are warnings in these verses that I just read. So will you bow your heads for a moment, and then I will close in prayer. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread that we can remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and what he went through. We thank you for the cup, and that it represents the blood of Jesus cleansing us from our sins. And thank you for this new covenant that we have, and this way that you provided for us so that we can be with you forever. I just pray that as we join in communion this morning, that you will speak to us and change our lives forever. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have some instructions for you. So please just wait to partake the emblems so that we can take them together. Did anybody miss getting the emblems as they walked in? If you have, please raise your hand and someone will bring them around to you. And please be careful when you're opening the juice. And I'll give you time right before we partake of the juice to open it, so don't feel rushed. I'll wait for you before we drink of the cup together. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance for me." Shall we partake of the bread together? In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This is my new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Will you join me in partaking of the cup together? May God richly bless you this morning for coming and gathering around the communion table. May God speak to your hearts and fill your souls with his love and kindness and mercy. May God richly bless you as we celebrate the death of Jesus and resurrection. Thank you.
Okay, well, as we close, let's make the message of the empty tomb personal in our own lives, because the story didn't end there. Larry said it's for each one of us. Let's proclaim that as we sing Graves in the Gardens.
Amen. He's risen. Take the message as you go out the door. Take that message with you. He is risen indeed, and live every day of your life like you believe it's true. So, one quick announcement. There's trash cans at the door. We can help Anita with her cleaning. If you deposit that, your remains from communion in the trash can at the door as you leave, that'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. And if there's any children who came up front and didn't get candy, there's still some, a couple bags in there yet. So if you didn't get one, come on up and get one after the service. So would you stand? Would you stand for this parting blessing? May hope in the risen Christ sustain you. May faith in the risen Christ strengthen you. May the joy of the risen Christ radiate in your lives today and in the days to come. Go knowing that our risen Savior is calling you into deep living, depending totally on the risen and living Christ to lead, guide, and direct you every step of the way. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.